Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. Is there a player in particular that you feel has to step up the most with Tavares out?
Well, Marner, I guess, right? Like, it's got to be its top guys. If your top guy goes out, then, I mean, Matthews has to be better. You can't turn around and say, oh, you know, Jason Spezza is going to get this chance, and he's the guy that's got to step up. And, you know, I would look to the guys that need to be the best guys anyway. And if Tavares is out for 2 to 3 or whatever the weeks are going to be, then they're the guys that are going to have to plug the gap.
Yeah, I think the two for me are Matthews and Marner. Marner, because he's capable of doing it, but also the contract continues to come up. If you're going to be paid like a top 10 player in the league, you can't just say, I need my line mate in order to perform or to produce. But Matthews is in now a similar situation to the situation that Crosby finds himself in. And Matthews is not Crosby. He never will be Crosby. But he's getting paid like he is, and he's got the capability to be a dominant guy. And look at Sid. Like, Malkin goes down, and this guy is just a machine. Like, I don't even care that Malkin's not here. We're not going to lose games.
Well, I mean, you can go back through most of Sid's career, and it's not like, for the most part, he's had these amazing sets of wingers. You know, he did his, you know, some of his best work with Chris Kunitz and Pascal Dupuis. And it wasn't like he was getting these feathery passes from those guys all the time.
Right.
Right?
Curveballs.
Yeah, it's like whatever Sid gets, Sid produces, right? It doesn't seem to matter. And so, like, the one thing when you're that inevitably happens, I think, especially with the cap, is if you're paid at the level that these guys are getting paid at, every once in a while your wingers are not going to be what you might think they're going to be. And that's not up to them to be better. It's up to you to make them better.
Right.
And that's part of being at that end of the food chain.
Yeah, I think it could be a blessing in disguise, a bit of a wake-up call for this team, because they've been very inconsistent. Last night, 57 minutes of the game, they played okay. They played fine, but they go to sleep for 3 minutes and they lose 2 points.
Oh, okay, but Brian, so last night, like, so I'm in Edmonton doing the game last night for NBC, what was the score? It was 1-1.
It was 2-1. Right? It was 2-1.
2-1.
It was 2-0 at one point.
It was 2-1, and I got in the elevator, and I got upstairs to the press box, and I stopped to get a coffee at the coffee station, and then I got into the booth, and it was 4-2, and I'm like, well, what the hell happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't even see it.
Ray, did you see the goals? I mean, did you think anything of the goals where Hutchison, where you look at one of them and said, man, he's got to have that?
Was it the third one that was kind of a little bit, I'm trying to think. There was one, the power play was the slapper that went through him.
That was Carlson. That was the fourth.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay, they moved it around, and, like, that's going to go in sometimes, right? What was the third one? Who got the third
that
one?
That was the Backstrom goal, I believe. That was in the slot.
He ripped it under the bar.
I thought he could have had that one.
Yeah. I think they're tough shots. They're good. They're great players. Yeah. We're talking Backstrom, Carlson, Kuznetsov. Like, Owen and I got into it earlier. Where I by no means do I think Hutchinson was the reason they lost last night. But at some point, the reality of the position, maybe the unfairness of the position, is you just got to give us a stop. Like, it's such an empty calories comment.
Well, that was our debate, Ray, because he was going through the goals, and I'm like, you know what? Varanus is a one-timer. Kuznetsov's on a breakaway. Backstrom rips it on a one-timer and a lost coverage. And then you got Carlson on the power play. It's like, I'm trying to go through them and think, which one of these is he really supposed to have? And I know it's his job to have them, and you got to make a couple of game you're not supposed to, but I just found it difficult to say, man, he had to have that one on any of them.
And so, the other problem of this whole conversation, when we, you know, as we get back to Hutchison, is that, okay, so say he should have had this one or that one, and Babcock grows frustrated with he should have had this one or that one. Well, what are they going to do?
Nothing.
Like, you that's what I mean. Like, you can't, there is nobody else to have. There's nobody else to get, to call up. They can't afford anybody else. Now, I can't imagine, like, they're not going to put Tavares on IR, are they?
I don't think so, but to that point...
They can't call anybody up.
No, they can't. They have $380,000 in cap room. They're just not... They can't call anybody up.
This whole thing is a house of cards, man.
It is, and it hasn't started well. That's the whole thing. You talk about mojo, and I don't know how much people believe in it or not, but, you know, we discussed it every day. During the training camp, it was just a dark cloud over the team. Like, it just... It was turmoil, and there were PR disasters. And now you come out of the gate, and you're 4-3-1. You've been lackadaisical at times. You've been inconsistent. I've looked at it and said, okay, I see what they're building here. I can see that working, but it's been far and few between. And now you got another monster hurdle you got to overcome. Man,
this is so. So what did they do, or what have they did? Did they even discuss anything today? I assume they didn't practice, right? I just flew
home. Full off day. So tomorrow we'll get some answers.
Right. So I wonder what the step forward is. Do they?
Well, Ray, let me ask you this: do you not think Jason Spezza, for a 2-week time frame, can take a second line center position and play with whoever? I mean, he's been a point producer, a go to guy, the majority of his career. For a 2-week span, do you not say, look, go do this?
Well, I don't know if he can for a 2-week span, but I would certainly try there first. Like, who else are you going to put there?
No kidding. Kerfoot's a third line player any day of the week.
So say you put Kerfoot, say you decide to put Kerfoot with Marner. Well, then Spezza's got to play there, doesn't he? Like, he's got to play where Kerfoot is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's an opportunity here for him, and don't think he's not, like, super salivating over this.
He should be.
Right? You know, you're looking at it and you can smell it. AO, you're like, that's a chance for me.
That's right.
And all you ever can ask is the chance. And so he's going to have an opportunity to maybe fill in some gaps here. Maybe he can do himself more than 2 weeks of good in the next 2 weeks or 3 weeks or whatever it's going to be.
How did you guys feel about the final 2 minutes last night? Matthews not on the ice.
Well, I thought they got hemmed in their own zone, and if Kapanen was up for the goaltender and Matthews was on the bench, that's ridiculous. He's got to be the first guy over the boards. But they had them hemmed in, and nobody could get off, or you don't want to get off. You don't want to have an advantage with possession and say, oh, I got to get off the ice because Matthews is coming on.
I missed, because we were doing the game, I look up and I see the goalies out, and I'm quickly counting who's on the ice. I'm like, wow, there's a couple of guys missing that normally are out there. And then they were in the zone. They never really were. I didn't really think they were super dangerous.
Perimeter, but, the whole time.
Yeah. But you're right. You're in the zone. Who's going to change there?
You look like an idiot, because then you get pressured and you lose possession and it's out of the zone.
And so I mean, when they pulled the goalie first, that was not off a draw, was it?
It was on the fly.
It was on the fly, so then all of us, you know, I mean, I can't believe their intention was to play the 2 minutes without their two of their best offensive players, right?
Yeah, no. If anybody's out there thinking that the coach has made a decision not to put Austin Matthews on the ice, like, give your head a shake.
And then you know, so that's not the intention, and then all of a sudden the minutes just go by.
I will say, though, when you're paid $6 million as a coach, your job is to have Austin Matthews on the ice somehow. I don't know how, whatever, figure it out.
Well, he could have called
it. You can't have one of those big canes and, like, hook somebody around the neck and pull them off, right? I mean, maybe sometimes you get stuck, right? And it's a bad time to get stuck, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't, anyone with the mentality that I have to get off the ice when you're on to score,
you shouldn't be on the ice, period.
Yeah, it's pretty, you should never be back on the ice in that situation.
Well, they weren't going to get me off the ice.
No way.
If the goalie was out, I wasn't coming off.
No way. I think the move would have been, after Tavares scored, you call a timeout. Like, and then be like, all right, let's all get a breather here, and then you get him back out. And that, I think, may have been the missed opportunity, but, you know, it didn't happen. And in the end, they lose the game 4-3. And now the three losses that they have are against St. Louis, Tampa, and Washington.
Well, you know, as I'm thinking about that, Brian, it's like, what Babcock talked about happened. They got the points the first night. They didn't get the points the second night. So maybe part of the missed opportunity is, did they give themselves the best opportunity to win on the second night? And whether it was the goaltender or not,
I would say 2-0 on the road is a pretty good opportunity.
That's, I mean, there's got to be a way for that team to, if they consider themselves to be good enough, there's got to be a way that, that game doesn't slip away.
How about McDavid? You got to see it up close and personal. It's not like it was your first time. You haven't been living on the moon for the past 4.5 years, but 5 points. He's got 17 now in 7 games. I think the surgery went well, or whatever he was dealing with in the offseason, and he appears to be at 100%. I mean, that's from a distance. Would you challenge that take or what?
Well, no, not at all. I interviewed him before the game, and I asked him that, you know, like, where are you at? And he said, oh, it's coming. I think I feel better now than I did a couple of weeks ago, but it's coming. And then he scores that goal where he gets just shot out of a cannon. And, you know, like, Justin Braun had a 10-foot head start on him and ended up 5 feet behind him. Like, it was amazing to watch how fast he is. On the Manning goal, he got out on the rush, and you should have seen the defense backpedal. And then he's in the zone, and he laid it back, and he one-times a shot in the net. Like, it was pretty awesome to watch. What was crazy is Edmonton was not very good last night. They took a 2-1 lead, and then they got outshot 21-6 before McDavid scored. Like, they never had the puck. Philly should have scored 3 or 4 goals. Game should have been different. Wasn't. And then 2 shots later, it's 4-1, and the game's over.
Yeah. Well, Tippett tried to send one of those classic "we won big" messages, but I still don't like it post-game.
Oh, he said the goalie should have been first, second, third star.
Right.
I was like, are you high?
Well, the goalie was their best player last night.
Well, one guy had 5 points, though. One guy had 5 points.
Yeah, but he made 49 saves.
Okay.
I mean, like, look, 5 points is pretty damn good too. I get it. Okay, so he could be one of the 3 stars,
right?
You know, I get all that stuff. But I also get, and there are times when the coaches will make the statement, and the players are all like, "That's BS, man. We all like that's garbage." There's nobody on the Oilers last night that would have thought, "Well, we played a good game. Tips just kind of kept screwing with us today." They wouldn't have thought that because, for the most part, they never had the puck. It was really, really something to see. And then they got it, zipped it around, and it's in the net. And you're like, oh, well, they got another goal anyway. Right? So, and I thought Philly was pretty good. And then all of a sudden they're down 6-2 or whatever it was.
Right. Well, they've lost all 3 out in Western Canada now.
Yeah, I think their next game's on the moon.
Yeah, it should be. If they're being consistent, that's where they have to play next.
Like, so they stayed overnight last night, and then they fly back home. They play Saturday as their next one at home.
Boston-Tampa tonight. Significant game or just 1 of 82 in October?
Nah, it's more than that, but it's not. I don't know how significant it is, but it's kind of interesting, right? So Tampa's been up, and they've been down, and Boston's... I don't think they're going to have David Krejci tonight, and they've got, I think it's 14 of or 12 of 14 or 15 goals that top line's got for them. So it's not like Boston's just super happy with everything going on in their world. But so it's like it's not just Toronto that's kind of trying to figure it out, right? They're like, oh yeah, these other teams got some stuff they got to figure out too.
Yeah, no kidding. But,
one of those teams has got to be Dallas, right?
Oh, how long can they not make a change of some kind there?
Oh, my God. Well, there's too many good players there and a goaltender to be playing like that.
So really, the choice is, like, I don't think it's the coach. You know, I mean this is his second year. I don't think they're going to fire the coach. Is it, do they make a move on the general manager, which is Jim Nill, or do they look at, you know what, we've got to do something with the core of this team? And for me, I keep, you know, I was thinking about this today, and I kept coming back to the core of the team. Like, is that core, can they win? I don't know. They're damn good. Like, Sagan and Ben, they're terrific players. But, like, can they win together? Because they haven't, and they've had plenty of chances. Like, do you have to make that kind of step?
Well, they might, you know, or you call up the Athletic and just start carving these guys and see if you can replicate what you did last year as one or the other. But, like, Jamie Benn has completely fallen off a cliff. He's got 2 points in 8 games. Last year he had 53, maybe the biggest disappointment in the league, considering expectations and how good he is. And all of a sudden, he's just not an impact player.
I think 3 years ago, I had him in my top 5 or 10 at least.
Oh,
he led the league in scoring.
Yes. He could do everything.
Now
he was
not even a factor.
Not even a factor. No, he's not.
But what would happen, do you think, you know, just to make a supposition here, what happens if Dallas said, hey, you know what, somebody make me an offer on Jamie Benn? Could you imagine what they might be able to do?
I think you'd get a haul, but he's 30 now. I think he's got a decent ticket. I don't know what his contract is. We'd have to look it up. But maybe he just needs a new, you know, he's been in Dallas his whole career. Sometimes the players, like, I could use a fresh start, go somewhere else. He's not going to say it publicly, but maybe he's thinking that.
Well, after a while, doesn't it get to be the same old, same old?
Right.
And that's kind of where they are. And that, like, that should be too good a team, but the fact is they're not, because they don't win.
Yeah, that's the standings.
They spent a lot of money in Dallas and not gotten much result, and it feels like at 1-6-1, and they've given up a whole bunch of goals, that maybe they have to do something. Not should, maybe they have to.
Mm-hmm. All right, buddy. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5.
Alrighty. Noodles out in Vegas?
Oh, yeah, he's in Vegas. He's a
been
pro.
There for 3 days.
What is he? Did he have the wrong day for the game or what?
Well, he flew out yesterday morning at 8 a.m. So you do the math.
And that's because there wasn't a 7 a.m. flight.
Right. The game's tonight. So.
Well, he wanted to prepare. I'm sure he went to the morning skates and to the practices. I'm sure he got to that.
I'm watching him tonight. That opening. Who's he calling it with? Is it Cuthbert that flew down? Or?
With Gord.
Okay, so Miller's there. Gord will be. He'll be ready. But
Gord will be ready. I don't.
Yeah.
But how about? By the way, how about Vegas? Speaking of teams that always have something, you know, because we're saying everybody's got a story, and you know, Vegas got that's their second guy that's tested positive, eh? In the last couple of years.
Well,
and I don't know whatever the story is, but it's just not a great look.
I've never seen a GM. So if you're not familiar with this, Zaitkov is the kid that got suspended 20 games today for PED use or substance abuse. He failed the test. And he issued a statement saying, I unknowingly took this.
And the team says, no, you knew it.
Yeah. George McPhee comes out and goes, don't give me that garbage. You meant to do it. I know you meant to do it. Like, what's McPhee doing here? Why can't he just fall on the sword for his guy, even if he knows he's lying about it?
Maybe they told him. I mean, I don't know this. Maybe they told him this is not right, and he went ahead and did it anyway.
Right.
And Something's so I up. Would say, it's fair to say, it's an educated guess that's probably the last game he'll play for the Golden Knights.
That you can't feel very good about your security.
I didn't mean it. No, you did.
Yeah, you did. You did. I'm going to punish you publicly. And he's like doubling down, McPhee. He's stopping people on the street in Vegas saying, I know Zaitkov meant to do this. Don't listen to his garbage.
If he hires somebody with one of those sandwich boards walking around on Vegas' strip, it says the kid took something, then you know what's
Zaitkov
the problem.
Zaitkov did it.
Yeah, he did it. I know what you did last summer, Zaitkov, you cheat. That's your GM.
And it's tough to get caught.
I don't know about you guys, but whenever somebody gets busted, I'm like, you knew exactly what you were doing. Colabella was the classic for me. He came out and I was like, God, I love you, man. I love what you represent, and you're swearing you didn't know, but you damn well knew.
Yeah, he knew. He came out of
nowhere.
He was
a fringe player and had a great year, and all of a sudden he tested positive. And he's like, my belief, he had this big spiel. He's like, my belief in baseball and in the history of the game, I would never cheat the game. Well, you did.
Yeah,
you got
did.
Caught.
And then you stopped taking, and
never then you
made
stopped
it back.
Playing.
Yeah, you couldn't hit anymore. Funny how that
funny
works.
That.
Yeah.
Then not only could he not hit it far, he couldn't hit it.
Yeah. No kidding. Get those roids pumping, dude. If you want to get back to the majors, just don't get caught.
If you could take steroids, if you were told you to be a broadcaster, you had to take steroids, would you do it?
For broadcasting? Yeah. No. But to get
to
the majors?
It's your livelihood. Forget about what it is, actually. But if somebody said, if Grappler told you, if you take these roids, you could have the best show in Toronto.
I think we already do. And we're clean.
All right. North America.
Huh? Yeah, I'd take roids for that.
Me too.
Hey, that took you a half a second. Yeah, whatever. I'll take that. Don't worry about my liver, my kidneys, whatever.
I have no integrity.
Can't even read it.
No integrity, and I'm happy to do that for the betterment of the show. I'll take roids.
That's what I like. That's why you are the captain.
That's right, buddy. captain material right there. Roids for the boys.
Perfect.
Put that on a billboard. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you.
Talk to you tomorrow.
This is Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.